PointCasino.com or charge by phone 702-797-8055. Bring the Avalon at the South Point. Wild, man, wild. It's hard to unite.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the program's participants and do not necessarily reflect those of station staff, management, and advertisers.
We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Well, all righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on the day after the Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby 151 now in the record book. We'll look back at all the exciting action that happened yesterday. We welcome you to the Race Day show on this post-Kentucky Derby Sunday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. And, of course, the South Point Studio streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. And, of course, all of you listening this morning, driving around on the wet pavement out there here in Las Vegas. Yep, we got Kentucky Derby weather here. It just, of course, it came a little bit later on in the day and through the night and this morning, but it is raining out here in Las Vegas, so the temperatures will be cooler today. But in any case, if you're listening to us on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and, of course, all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone with your apps. You can get, the YouTube app that you can see and hear us, and the KSHP app that you can listen to us through our anchor radio station here in town, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the show. Oh, and by the way, I do have Jonathan Hardoon with me. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
I'm just choking up a little bit after what happened yesterday. But, you know, we want to also welcome, and just in case we have any influencers out there, you know, the influencers that should be listening to the Race Day show instead of some other show.
Probably a
good
idea.
That gave that worst 9-2 shot in the history of racing.
Ralph, all I was doing was watching that horse the entire race and just hoping he didn't roll because I would have made a fool of myself, but worked out okay.
Sandman, the horse that we are referring to, finished seventh in the Kentucky Derby field. So although he didn't finish in the back end of the field, he was nowhere near cashing any money. So we welcome all of you out there, including the influencers, to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for today, Sunday. Well, it was a very interesting day of racing, and first and foremost, I want to thank all of the people who responded all week long to everything that we did here at the South Point, from the Kentucky Derby special show on Wednesday here on YouTube, throughout all the Race Day shows, including the big Race Day Las Vegas Kentucky Derby show that we had yesterday morning, and the massive crowd that showed up here yesterday to enjoy the Kentucky Derby party with us. They put it in the exhibit hall, and the exhibit hall was a bigger room than what we're used to in the usual conference area, the big ballrooms that we have here, because there was something happening in the ballroom. So we did the exhibit hall. I walked in there and took a look at the huge exhibit hall, and I thought to myself, man, how are we going to fill this? Because at the time I walked in, it was about a half to three quarters full. But by the time they got to the Derby, that exhibit hall was full. And, man, was it jumping and, I mean, it was rocking and rolling all day here at the South Point.
The people were having fun, Ralph. Oh. That hat contest was quite a hit. There was a 93-year-old woman who actually entered. I don't know where she finished. Hopefully she won or won something anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, South Point put on a terrific show.
I got to tell you, that lady was so precious. She should get some type of award.
Absolutely.
I don't care. She should get some type of award, but it went from her all the way down to some of the youngest people in the crowd, and they came with very unique hats.
They took it serious, Ralph. They did their work, and they didn't just show up with a baseball cap.
I showed up with a baseball cap, they had a great time with the hat contest, the pitcher taking thing, and that was also very unique, et cetera, and the food and beverage. The discount food and beverage. I saw a guy going back to the table about two tables from ours, and he was putting down all this food and a rack full of beers. And he says, "Now you see all this?" He's telling the people at this table. He said, "You see all this? If I were to buy a beer, just one beer on the strip, it would cost me as much as I got all this stuff for."
Yeah.
And so you guys came out and you supported it, and we thank you so much for that. We had a good time. And our handicappers on the Race Day show, bada, bada, bang. They hit it out of the ballpark yesterday, not only with the Kentucky Derby exacta and the Kentucky Derby trifecta, but the key horses that you remember me kind of irking it at them early in the morning, let's go to this race, let's go to that race. But we had more winners out of these guys as well. John Linda, of course, is en route back home. And, of course, for you and John and, of course, Richie and Jerry did a great job in handicapping the races yesterday. Congratulations, guys. You did a great job.
Thank you, Ralph. We stepped it up on the biggest day of the year, or one of them. And
The biggest day so far this year. And so, what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go, I'm going to start with the Kentucky Derby and how they finished in the Derby. By the way, we got reports this morning. Everybody in the Derby came out the race fine, right?
Yeah, thank goodness, and no problems. And it's amazing. Look how messy and sloppy that track was.
Oh, I know.
And they were running on the turf, and Everything went smooth.
It was amazing.
Southern California that you could race when it's wet outside.
And it also shows the people at Churchill Downs and the people around the nation. Those Southern California horses competing at Churchill Downs knocked it out of the park, too. I know they didn't win the Derby. They ran second and third. But I can tell you all of the the supporting races, and I'm talking about million-dollar stakes races on the supporting card. They were doing their job, man.
Copian was great for Dick Mandela.
Yep.
She's unbelievable, that filly, and it was just a terrific day of racing.
But I know the Derby is the Derby, but as far as racing fans are concerned, folks, I'm telling you, the Churchill Downs stakes race, that was the eighth race on the card for $1 million at 7 furlongs, provided the most exciting driving finish in all races around the country, everywhere for the entire week. And that was it looked like, in Las Vegas terms, it looked like a chorus line at the end of the finish.
It was unbelievable. Nisos, who I think finished in a dead heat for second.
Yeah.
I mean, he may have been best in the race. He missed the break, but that was one hell of a race.
It really was amazing. And Mind Frame, we'll go over some of the races, but this race, the Churchill Downs, Mind Frame won the race by the slimmest of nostrils, with Ired Ortiz Jr. aboard, beating his brother Jose on Banish, who finished second in a dead heat with Nisos.
Yeah.
So those two finished second, just a nose behind Mind Frame, and there was like, you can go down to about the sixth horse in the field that was less than a neck away at the end. It was just across the track, but I saw Mind Frame warming up before the race, and they showed a good bit of it on the closed circuit television at the Churchill Downs was providing. And I can tell you, he looked like a monster warming up on the track. But Ired kept warming him up and warming him up. And I know when jockeys do that, especially on a sloppy track, they're getting the feel from the horse that he's really not liking the surface.
Right.
But he got him warmed up. He broke out of the gate. He was sitting in fourth place, just like a head away from the third place horse, and they were only about a length, maybe at most, behind the two horses that broke and were battling for the lead early. And then he dropped out to third last. And I thought to myself, well, I understand, but he was just not handling the track. And then Ired got him to the outside, got away from all of that mud that was, the splashing that was coming up into his face. And he started rallying again. And he rallied in the middle of the track away from everything and got up in the final jump. And I can tell you honestly, that horse's determination is like a lot of horses' determination. I remember Mike Smith was saying one time with Zenyatta, she did not like Del Mar, but she kept winning races down there because she just had the determination to win. I felt the same way about Mind Frame. I thought he didn't like the track. He raced through the track, and it's just with his determination and Ired's smart move to the outside, got the win in that blanket finish.
Well, that's the breed of racehorses. They want to win. You know, horses like that, and he laid it down on the line, and really a terrific job. And I guess Pletcher and Rapoli got a win.
They were happy. After, by the way, they had to scratch Grande again from the Kentucky Derby. This Rapoli's had his horses.
Like three horses over there.
And two of them have been favorites in the Kentucky Derby that were scratched either the day before or the day of, and they scratched Grande again because they
quarter crack.
Yeah, quarter crack. And so at least he got in a better mood with Mind Frame winning that was the eighth race on the card of the 14 races yesterday. $9.08 for the win. Richie Ang's Bookum Dano finished, I think Bookum Dano was like the fourth horse just ahead.
He ran super. Yeah. He was chasing that hot pace, and he was still around
he
at
was
the
still
end.
Around at
yeah,
the
so
end. Yeah,
he ran very well.
Of course, and Banishing and Nisos finished in a dead heat for second, but the most exciting race, I thought, on the day.
I agree. It was terrific.
Now, as far as the Kentucky Derby, rained there, it was beautiful out here for a while. It got to raining in the afternoon here. We got a windstorm that came in with rain and all that. People at the pool were running for their lives because that storm just came right in the middle of the day. We were okay because we were inside. It was always fast, firm, and perfect in the exhibit hall. But, as far as the races at Churchill. It was sloppy. It was just, you know, raining and sloppy for most of the big days. But yet, all source betting on the Kentucky Derby card at Churchill Downs reached $349 million. That was up 9% from last year when they didn't have rain at $320.5 million. So, I mean, it was amazing.
It really was.
It goes to show you that when you have competitive cards, people are going to bet.
Full cards, terrific racing, and everyone, you know, spent their money, and hopefully people made some money.
On the Kentucky Derby itself, now remember, there were only 19 horses. There weren't 20 betting interests, but in the 19-horse Kentucky Derby, the race itself, the total of betting on the race itself, $234.4 million. That was up 11% from last year. That record was $210,007. So they broke all the handles. Derby week handle overall $473.9 million, up 6%. You know, combined sources handles, everything was up. Everything was up across the boards. People were out there and they were having fun, and they didn't care what the weather was like.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It just shows you, Ralph, you put on the right show and you're going to get results.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's for sure. Now, as far as the Kentucky Derby itself. Of course, you at the seminar, along with John Lendo, were unwavering about sovereignty, because you guys were questioning how come this horse was the Aussie was all through the betting pattern. All through the betting pattern, he was
9-1.
He was 9-1 at a portion between the previous race and the Kentucky Derby, which was like an hour and 15 minutes or whatever between races. He actually flashed up to 10-1. But that had the influencer mark on it, because that's why all that money was bet on Sandman. It wasn't like racing people betting it. It was influencer people betting it. And so that gave us sovereignty at a good price. He wound up closing at 7-1, almost 8-1. But you and John Linda were both adamant at the seminar on Friday night. You both loved sovereignty and journalism. Case closed. That was it. That was the exacta box. That, and you really like sovereignty. John was going to exact a box the journalism and sovereignty, and that's the way they finished. Sovereignty won the race. He was in post position 16. He was still in 16 at the first quarter, and then he started winding it up. He came from 17th place at the three quarters, swept by the horses, then battled with journalism through the stretch and won the race by a length and a half at the end. But they were head-to-head in mid-stretch. Journalism finished second. He was second by a neck. And Flavian Pratt, who was on Baeza way out on the outside in post 19, worked out a trip for Baeza, and he almost got second place from journalism. And he finished third in the race. But I thought that all three of those horses ran phenomenal races. Don't know, outside of maybe sovereignty, that might come back in the Preakness. What do you think?
It's close. You know, Bill Mott's an old-style trainer, and It's important not to burn these horses out. For sure, you're not going to see Baeza. For sure, you're not going to see journalism. You know, they have a long year ahead of them. If you're going to run a horse back on 2 weeks after an effort like that yesterday, you're going to hurt them. You know, it's going to take its toll. They only have so many good races in them. The smart thing to do, certainly if you didn't win, is to pass. Why would you want to run?
That's correct. And you know what's going to happen with sovereignty. From now until they draw for the Preakness,
they're going to make Bill Mott crazy.
He's going to get so much pressure from all angles and a lot from the media to go ahead and run. And Bill Mott, you know him and I know him, he's going to say, listen, the horse will tell me yes or no, and that's going to be it. It's going to be final. So we'll wait and see if we have an opportunity for a triple crown.
But he's also owned by Godolphin. And, you know, they obviously don't need the money or anything like that. So they're not going to put the pressure on like other owners would put on their trainers to run. Mm-hmm. Listen, there were some terrific performances. I never, ever thought that Owen Almighty would run as well as he ran. I think he ran fifth. That's an amazing training job by the trainer. Trainer didn't want to run, and even East Avenue came back and ran super.
East Avenue was split more than half the field. He ran eighth.
And by the way, the $2,500 horse, Chunk of Gold, he finished ninth, I think.
He finished ninth in the race. He's more than split the field, too. The way they crossed the finish line, sovereignty first, journalism, then came Baeza. Final Gambit finished fourth to complete the superfecta. Owen Almighty finished fifth to complete the super high five. Then you had Burnham Square, who got
trouble. He had a lot of trouble. Yeah. You know, Brian Hernandez went to the rail like he did last year with Mystic. Then it just didn't work. But that's what that's a chance you take when you're either a hero or a bum, you know.
But he still beat Sandman.
Yeah,
Sandman
well.
Officially finished seventh. Then you had East Avenue, Chunk of Gold, as we said, Tiztastic, Cole Battle, Luxor Cafe, Neo Equus, Publisher, which I thought was going to run a lot better, but didn't. He ran, I think, 14th in the race. Then he had Citizen Bull, and Citizen Bull wiped out like at least four horses coming out of the starting gate. I mean, he just make a right.
For most of the race was run pretty clean.
Yeah, but
the
that
start was a disaster.
No
Citizen
kidding.
Bull ended up in the five path, you know, five jumps out of the race, and he did squeeze. They squeezed horses back. The Cox horse got squeezed back, and he ended up running fourth.
Yeah.
So he ran very
Final
well.
Final Gambit, yeah, he was in the three hole.
He ran. He was right, you know, when Citizen Bull came over and made that right-hand turn, well, a lot of horses got squeezed out.
Yeah.
But for a 20-horse field, 18, 19, whatever it was.
Yeah, once they got going, it was
It was really a pretty cleanly run race.
It was cleanly run. I mean, any of the jockeys that got blocked or whatever, that was by their maneuvers.
Right,
and
they,
not
made
by,
they made decisions that didn't work out well for them.
Let's see, after Chunk of Gold, then they had Tiztastic, Cole Battle, Luxor Cafe, Neo Equus, who broke from the two-hole, he got nailed by a Citizen Bull. Citizen Bull, Publisher ran next, then it was Citizen Bull who finished 15th, American Promise, Render Judgment, Flying Mohawk, and Admire Daytona, the Japanese horse, finished last.
Japan's still looking for that one.
Yeah, they sure are. But what a heck of a race it was, that's for sure. As far as the payoffs, they were good all over the place. And we even said at the seminar and said on the show many times, even if the two favorites get there, because it's the Derby, it's going to pay well. And it did. As far as the win price, Sovereignty wound up paying $17.96 because they paid down to the penny, owned by Godolphin, who had never won the Derby. They won every race known to man in the world, but they were still looking for their Derby win. They got it yesterday. They were the owners of Sovereignty, and, of course, Bill Mott, just a masterful job of getting this horse ready to run this race through the season leading up to the Kentucky Derby. The $2 exacta paid $48.32.
That was a good price.
Yeah, sure it was.
And the try was a little weak, to be honest with you, but it is.
Well, the trifecta paid $131.12 for a buck. And, you know, you got to think that maybe a lot of people threw in Baeza in the race because of Flavien Prat.
Right.
So anyhow, that's the way that went. But in the seminar, John Lendo nailed it right on the nose. He said boxed the two horses that ran first and second. In the seminar, you nailed it on the nose by just keying Sovereignty over the horses that finished second and third in the race, crediting you for the trifecta in that race. Good stuff, all. Other races, just to wrap up what happened at Churchill Downs on Saturday, in the stakes races, and I'll give them to you in order as they rolled out yesterday. The Knicks Go Stakes was won by Liberal Arts. That was a pick on this show yesterday morning when I dragged it out of Jonathan for another pick. I asked him who they liked. You came up with Liberal Arts. It paid $5.60, but was a winner there in the Knicks Go for Brad Cox, outrunning Patriot Spirit and Kupuna, who finished third. And the Churchill Distaff simply in front, got in front and got the job done. Luis Ayez's second win of the day out of the first of five races, $33 for the upset there. Pin Up Betty was second, and Lebanon Up finished third. In the Pat Day Mile, the winner there in an upset was Macho Music under Javier Castellano for Rohan Crichton,
right,
paying $29.86, outrunning Matticat Road and Gaming. Bob Baffert finished second and third in the Pat Day Mile, but got upset by Macho Music in the race. Built didn't fire at all in that race. I don't think he did not like that track. No, he did not. In the Twin Spires Turf Sprint on the Turf, and as you say, as we witnessed, the turf it really held up well, Jonathan, yesterday at Churchill Downs. The winner there, Think Big, that was John Lendo's pick on the show. And Think Big, with Mr. Curtis aboard, Ben Curtis, and paid $6.84 for the win, and trainer Mike Stidham. Finishing second was Boss Sully, and third was Unconquerable Keen. In the Churchill Downs Stakes, again, Mindframe wins, and a dead heat for Banish and Nisos, a nose back there. We move to the American Turf, where Zulu Kingdom wins. Flavian Pratt aboard for Chad Brown, paying $6.34. That was a favorite there, outrunning Test Score and New Century. We got to the Derby City Distaff, where Copion, another horse that you and John both liked on the show, said Copion is one of the probably the most one of your most solid winners. You thought that was the most of the winners there. Another Southern California horse, Copion with Kazuchi Camaro for Dick Mandela, paid $7.48 for that, outrunning Hope Road and Ways and Means. And then in the Turf Classic, Spirit of St. Louis. What a gutty horse. This horse, he shows up every time and did again, coming from way back in the race, motoring down the middle of the turf course, gets the win under Manny Franco for Chad Brown. That was Chad Brown's second stakes win of the day, $8.24 there, outrunning Mercantant and Highway Robber. And, of course, the Kentucky Derby won by Sovereignty. It was one heck of a day of racing. Flopping Pat wound up winning three races, a couple of stakes races. He won. He actually rode after the Kentucky race. Around and rode after the Derby and won the 13th race on the favorite. But all in all, even with the mud and all that, it was a fantastic day of racing, both at Churchill Downs and especially on this show and here at the South Point.
It really was, Ralph. The handicappers did a great job, and we appreciate the people that listen every day, and it's nice for them to get rewarded once in a while.
And for all those people that just listen on the big day, you pay attention now. We'll influence you here with trying to get some winners, and certainly that was the case yesterday. Now the conversation all turns, folks. The conversation turns to, will we have a Triple Crown winner this year? Well, first of all, we have to have a horse that will try for the Triple Crown. The only horse that can do that is Sovereignty. And like you and John and myself feel that with all these great races down the road and the way Bill Mott trains, because he's very conscious about training his horses, don't care about, pressure for the Triple Crown. Godolphin, who, on the other hand, I don't know. But in any case, all the horses ate up well this morning. They did well after their performances, and now we'll wait for Sovereignty.
That's it, 2 weeks from yesterday.
I will tell you this. I believe that Sovereignty, Journalism, Baeza are going to be major factors at the second half of the year for three-year-olds when you get to races like the Haskell and the Travers.
Then Breeders' Cup after that.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. This class of three-year-olds ain't too shabby.
No, they're certainly not.
No.
And the top ones are really
They're good. I really believe that Baez has got a lot of upside left.
He's lightly raced. He's got John Sheriff, so he's moving forward.
And all I can say about Publisher is he's still a major. But I can tell you
and
this.
And so is Asmussen, by the way.
I know. Steve Asmussen is still looking for his first, but just like a Dolphin, he'll get his sooner or later, that's for sure. Quick look at some of the other stuff that happened yesterday. Belmont Park, Dylan Davis had a three-bagger. He won three of the first five races at Belmont at Aqueduct. They have a two-day pick six carryover going on there. The Elusive Quality Stakes there was won by Algonquin, My Boy Prince won the race. You liked Algonquin. My Boy Prince wins for Jose Lascano and Mark Cassie, paying $17.60. In the Fort Marcy, the winner there was Deterministic with Kendrick Carmouche for Christophe Clement, paying $6.20. And as I said, there's a two-day carryover in the pick six today at Belmont Park. Oaklawn Park was closing day yesterday. Francisco Arrieta had a triple in the stakes races. The ARC Breeders Championship won by 110 Stadium with Keith Asmussen for Ron Marquette at $76.80. A big upset there. In the La Cachita Stakes, Saudi Crown won that race for Mr. Cox with Abel Cedillo aboard, paying $3 even, outrunning last year's Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan, and Dymatic, who finished third in that race. Santa Anita has a two-day pick six carryover. How about that? Armando Ayuso won a couple of races yesterday, and so did Armando Aguilar. They won a couple of races each yesterday. And as far as the stakes race there, the Charles Whittingham winner there was Adelant with Hector Barrios on the turf for John Sheriff's, who at least won that race, paying $3.20, outrunning Paxo Wallop and Dicey Mochera. So we got a couple of carryovers today, a couple of several day carryovers of both Aqueduct and Santa Anita. It is closing day today at Laurel, right?
Yeah, and Gulfstream is also mandatory.
Mandatory payoff at Gulfstream.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we got some good stuff happening.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who might have stayed up a little bit later last night and party, take a nap because there's plenty of good racing coming up. And we just want to, again, thank all of you out there for responding. And we want to thank the people here right from the top. Owner Michael Gahn here at the South Point said, keep on doing these things. We love horse players here. And as long as they respond, we will keep doing it. Well, you did respond because they broke the handles here on Friday and yesterday, Derby Day, as well, for the handle here on the Kentucky Derby as well.
It seems to be getting bigger every year, Ralph. It really
does. Party here?
Yeah, in the hotel. It's just every, you know, they just increase and do better and better, and they can't do enough for the horse player. And
it was nuts in that exhibit hall. Not nuts in the fact that it was crazy and all. It was crowded, but everybody was having a good time.
It was a party atmosphere.
It was. It was really a good time. So we want to thank you all very much for that. And we're not done on this show yet. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, I'll get you, yes, Virginia, there is racing after the Kentucky Derby. Maybe not at Churchill Downs, because they're still cleaning out bodies out of that place today. But there is racing after the Derby, and we'll have your racing menu for today right after this. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Las Vegas, as you know, it's raining here in Las Vegas right now, but it's always fast, firm, and perfect in our race book. As far as all of those storms and those storms that went through Kentucky, it has now moved on to the East Coast, up and down the East Coast shore, including Florida. It is that storm is making its way through there, right up through New York and right up through Maine, etc. It's just one big swath going through there. And the storms that we have here are also moving on to the East Coast. So that takes care of that. Now, you know, I said that our handicappers did a yeoman's job yesterday, and I saved the best for last because it was the last race yesterday. I mean, the last race that anybody was really playing unless they get to the nighttime card. The last race at Santa Anita, we eked out another radio or race day play, I should say, because we're more than the radio now. In the 10th race at Santa Anita, you gave us Nikki Diamond. And Nikki Diamond reported home, folks, and won and paid $36.20. I will repeat that. $36.20. John Lendo gave us the winner of the last race at Santa Anita. So if you guys were missing all day long, you had one chance in the last race at Santa Anita to get out for the day with a $36.20 winner. And Jonathan, congratulations. That's number one. Number two is, we expect more today.
So, never happy, Ralph. That's good.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. We're playing today. So if we're playing, we got to, you know.
Absolutely.
Try to get it done. So anyhow, here's the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook Samulcast centers and racetracks around the country. First post time specific. If you are listening in another time zone, adjust to it, to the Pacific time zone. These are Pacific time zone first post times. I don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. We begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park, it's closing day at Laurel Park. 10 races today at Laurel, and a first post time for this closing day at Laurel Park is set at 9:10 today at Laurel. And all of the there are no carryovers there, so it's just mandatory payouts on the pools today at Laurel. Again, first post time 9:10 for the 10 race card. They're going to be moving to Pimlico for the Preakness Stakes, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. Tampa Bay Downs has 8 races today. Their first post time is 9:45 at Tampa Bay. Gulfstream Park has 9 races, and again, as Jonathan alluded to, there's a pick 6 mandatory payoff today, so the jackpot is off. That carryover sitting there is $244,230. $244,230 in the carryover in the Gulfstream Park pick 6. No jackpot provision. It's off today. Mandatory payoff. That money sitting there and all the money bet into it will go to the best tickets. They'll chop the best tickets up equally for the carryover there. Gulfstream Park's first post time is at 9:50. Woodbine Racecourse, north of the border, has 10 races. Their feature race is the Thorncliff. That's the 9th race on the card at 5.5 furlongs for 4-year-olds and up. In a field of 6, the 4-5 favorite there is Patches O'Houlihan, who's becoming a legend there at Woodbine. He's in the race, in the 9th race there, the featured Thorncliff. First post time, Woodbine, is at 10:05 at Woodbine. Then we go to Belmont at Aqueduct. 10 races today at Belmont at Aqueduct. They got 3 stakes races today. The Vagrancy will be the 7th on the card. 6 before scratches in that race. Almost Gone Rocket. 2-1 on the morning line with Flavian Pratt aboard. So he's in New York today. The Bogey is the 8th race at 1 mile and 16th. Scheduled for the inner turf course. 10 are entered there before scratches. This is a wide open event. The 2-1 favorite there is Amanda's Folly with Jose Ortiz. Then you have the Westchester Stakes at 1 mile for 4-year-olds and up. 7 in that race. 2-1 favorite there is Bishop's Bay from the rail with Flavian Pratt aboard. And those are the 4 stakes races today. Earlier on the card, by the way, the 4th stakes race is the license fee stakes. That's the 3rd on the card. Scheduled at 6 furlongs on the outer turf. A field of 8 there before scratches. Now, if it comes off the turf, your favorite's going to be Save Us Melenia. But if it stays on the turf, then Don't Look Back will be the 9-5 favorite with Irid Ortiz Jr. aboard. Belmont Park has a 2-day pick 6 carryover at $39,250. $39,250 in the 2-day Belmont Park, Belmont at Aqueduct pick 6 carryover. Got to get that right. Anyhow, Hawthorne Racecourse is next. They got 7 races. Their first post time is 12:40. They've got a super high 5 carryover there at Hawthorne, $3,544. We get to Santa Anita, and they have a 2-day pick 6 carryover. First post time, 1 o'clock at Santa Anita. Their 2-day pick 6 carryover, $77,347. $77,347. 10 races. The feature race comes early. It's the 4th race on the card. It is the Santa Barbara at 1.5 miles on the turf for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. 6 go to the post in that race. The 6 horse, Mrs. Astor, is the favorite in that one. Umberto Rispoli back in Southern California to ride that. By the way, I don't know how much rain they got in Southern California overnight and yesterday. I know we got a lot of rain here and a lot of wind. So hopefully they'll stay on the turf. And as you said, Churchill Downs proved that you can stay on the turf in the rain. So let's hope Santa Anita takes that cue. First post time Santa Anita with that 2-day pick 6 carryover is set at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then we wrap it up in Southern California with Los Alamitos. They have 10 races. They have 1 mixed breed, 3 thoroughbreds, and 6 quarter horse races at Los Al. And the first post time at Los Alamitos today is at 6. Make it 6 p.m. Okay, that's the menu for today. All right, Jonathan, you're here for the rest of the show, so I'll get your picks a little bit later on. We're gonna go to our next break, and then when we come back, we got Rich Eng standing by. So don't go away, folks.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
In Las Vegas for this post-Kentucky Derby show. And now we go out to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, it was nice to see you at dinner last night. You did a great job as far as providing all those daily racing forums and your selections, by the way, on the Race Day Las Vegas website as well. Your thoughts about anything that happened yesterday, including, of course, the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thank you, Ralph. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, viewers. Hi, listeners. I thought one of the funniest comments at dinner last night, it was either you, Jonathan, or Bob Ike across from me, said, if this card at Churchill had been at Santa Anita with all the rain, that it might have been canceled. I got a laugh out of that.
Yeah, I don't think they were going to cancel the Derby Day. Not with what they got 147,000 people out there.
Yeah,
147,000, and they showed up to bet money. That is for sure. Even though there was a lot of time, it was over an hour between the race before the Derby and the Derby, so they sold enough mint juleps too for that hour, but. It turned out to be an exceptionally good day of racing as far as the competition, as far as, of course, for us, the results, and as far as the horses getting around there in good order without any, terrible mishaps, etc. It just was a solid, good day of racing, and all I can say is that the people responded. They're still out there, folks. The horse players are still out there.
You know, Ralph, I heard you talk about the betting handle numbers were up, and that's a good sign. And, one of the things that certainly I learned is when I worked at racetracks on the publicity and the management side is the fact that even though the results were pretty chalky, and I know people who like long shots weren't that happy with a lot of the races yesterday, when people are cashing tickets and betting that money back, it creates something called churn. Well, we saw a lot of churn yesterday because, the races were pretty formful, but that means people were cashing a lot of tickets.
Yes, they were. And the one thing about it, except for maybe a couple of races, there weren't like the dead favorites that won. I mean, even the favorites were paying decent prices. You can make money. And the exactas and trifectas with some of the long shots that finished, rounded out the placings, made it really happen, that's for sure. Richie, I know that you're back to work today for the Daily Racing. By the way, I would credit the Daily Racing Forum just a little bit for getting that advanced edition out on Tuesday to help out the handle, because people had a chance to start handicapping. And when they start handicapping and they go over and handicapping and they're finding horses that they like in races because they have the time to do it through the all the information provided by the Daily Racing Forum, they form solid opinions. And by the time they get the racetrack, they're ready to go. It's just like when you're, playing the stock market. You don't wait until the bell rings before you figure out what types of stocks you want to bet. So I think it had a lot to do with it, right, Jonathan?
You know, it was terrific, Ralph, that they drew the way in advance.
Saturday
before. Yeah. That gives people so much more time. No one wants to be pressed and pushed and pressured to get things done. Yeah, and it gives the racing forum time to print it. And it was a great job by them.
It really gives us time to digest it. And, I don't want to hear about, what about the late? Look, they had late changes. People understand late changes, late scratches.
You can't control weather. Yeah. I mean, not only that, it's the biggest race, and the whole world's watching. They don't want anything to go wrong. God forbid a horse goes and gets hurt or something.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing this game needs.
So. So, Richie, you guys did a good job for helping that handle out as well.
Yeah, thank you, Ralph. You know, and I agree with everything you folks just said there in the studio, and the fact that when you have extra time to handicap, you can go over races more than once. You can, you know, really dissect horses, try to read between the lines. And then when you take a look at, like, the seminar you folks did on Friday, or you buy my reports I did for Brisnet, what you do is you have formed your own opinions, but then you listen to other people's opinions, and you start marking those things in the margin. And that's where you have some great bets put together, is you just meld all the ideas, the opinions, and you come up with great bets that you can make. off the information. So it's just more information is better, not worse.
All I can tell you is that, you know, when you have enough time, you form an opinion, you get to be more confident in that, forming that opinion after a while when you go over it again and say, this is the right one. I checked it out a few times, et cetera. So it works out fine. But there is racing today, and there's never too much of a good thing. So let's get a winner out there at Santa Anita today.
Well, I'm going to go right to the feature race, which is race four early in the card. This is going to be for me a single in the early pick five, but I like the six, Mrs. Astor. 3-2 in the morning line. I know the horse ran second last time out, but was off for 3 months and might have been just a tad short, but won two races before that, both stakes races in Southern California. I think this horse would be wound tight for Jonathan Thomas and Humberto Rispoli, who ran second in the Kentucky Derby with Journalism. He'll extract some revenge today, Ralph, with Mrs. Astor in the fourth.
All right, fourth race, Mrs. Astor, mile and a half scheduled for the turf. If there is some sort of reason why they take it off the turf and they run it on the main track, still a play?
Well, this horse has zero main track experience, so I don't know if I know anything more than a trainer, Ralph, if this horse will handle a main track. So we'll leave it up to Jonathan Thomas.
All right. Well, all I can say is that they should be on the turf today, so we'll just leave it at that. All right, fourth race, the six horse for Richie. You can get Richie's entire handicap for Santa Anita's 10-race card at the RaceDayLasVegas.com website. Yeoman's job, Richie. It was glad to see you last night, my man.
Yeah, and great job by you, Ralph, by you, Jonathan. I tell you, that seminar, I watched it, and you guys, you and John gave great information. I hope people come back and pay more attention next year even.
Yeah, I hope they get involved in racing, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good luck today.
All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back after our final break, I'm going to get Jonathan's official picks on the show today. And, of course, we'll see if Jerry Jackowitz shows up. And if he does, we'll get him on the air. We'll also give you John Lindo's picks. John Lindo did leave a pick today. Of course, he has one sheet, the Lindo Report, for today's racing at Santa Anita. But remember, it's a two-day carryover in the pick six. So we'll get you a pick, John Lindo's pick as well for Santa Anita. Don't go away.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty. Thank you so much. And now we're going to get to some picks. First of all, I want to give you out John Lindo's pick today at Santa Anita. John Lindo's pick at Santa Anita today in the sixth race is number 3, Yogi Boy, at 3-1 with Hector Barrios aboard, and it is on the turf. We're going to assume everything's on the turf. You know, I said rain only because... Yeah. We had all that rain come through here in Las Vegas. We usually get the pattern that goes through California. But if the cell that we're getting now started in Central California and worked down, it could have totally missed Southern California. So I don't want to, put people down the wrong road there. So So we're just going to go until further notice that they're all set and ready to go at Santa Anita in the regular vein. And if that is the case, in the sixth race, again, number three, Yogi Bear, the three and the six, John Lindo's pick out of the Lindo Report. He does have a full Lindo Report, by the way, here at the South Point, free of charge in the race book here and only here in the race book. Now, Jonathan, I'll get your two selections as well for today. You got one at San Anita, one at Belmont.
Yeah, Belmont at Aqueduct. We're going to look at the second race today, Ralph, and see if we could keep the mojo going. Mm-hmm. I like the number one horse in here, Otello, a four-year-old colt from the Christopher Clement Barn. Dylan Davis aboard to ride. He's listed at 9-2 on the morning line, 2-3 over this course, and should work out a great trip from the rail. I like number one, Otello, to win today's second race out at Belmont at Aqueduct.
Off of a Belmont at Aqueduct three-bagger in the first five races yesterday. Dylan Davis aboard number one, Otello. Number one, Otello in the second race today at Belmont at Aqueduct. And now we'll go to SoCal.
Yeah, second race today, Field of Eight. I like the number seven horse in here, Charlie Foxtrot. This is a three-year-old Ridgeling from the Mark Glatt Barn. Blinkers go on today. Draw a line through his last race when he ran on the turf. His first start was on the dirt, and he actually ran sneaky well. Ride a switch today to Kazuchi Kimura, 9-2 on the morning line. Number seven, Charlie Foxtrot, wins today's second race out at Santa Anita.
All right, the seven, Charlie Foxtrot, second race at Santa Anita, gives us a single for the early pick four and early pick five in the second race, the seven, Charlie Foxtrot. And you are getting nothing but accolades galore on the chat box today. And you know, rightfully so. They should.
They beat me up pretty good.
They beat you up. And that was rightful,
yes,
too. You know, it goes. But handicappers, just like horses, jockeys, and trainers, and sports overall, it's an ebb and flow thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, or just like the stock market. It goes up and down sometimes. But you guys did a great job yesterday. And now we're going to go out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by, who, you know, pegged it well as well in the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Jerry, good morning.
Yeah, no, we had a fantastic success with our Derby. So our top horse came second. Our second horse won the race. Our third horse had a star on him, came in fourth. So my people did really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally. We were celebrating last night.
yeah, a lot of
Jonathan
people. Yeah, everybody was celebrating last night, that's for sure. And, yeah, you guys, you had star horses on four horses there, and two of them were the first and second place finishers.
The star horses came in second, I mean, first, third, and fourth.
Wow.
Baeza had a star on him. Final Edition had a star on him. Sovereignty had a star on him.
That's a lot of stars.
Journalists had a star on him.
Yeah,
Journalism did not have a star.
Well, I got
he was top rated.
I got him as a star on my sheet, unless you
got the special sheet.
Did I get the special sheet from you, Jerry?
You made it special.
Oh, okay, all right. In any case, it worked out fine, Jerry.
I didn't put a star on Journalism. That was my whole thing, was that he had a problem that his last race might have been harder than we could tell, and it struck me that he might not be able to run his top effort. There was a chance. I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's what happened. I don't know how Jonathan saw it. I saw it was that Sovereignty was making a winning move and couldn't complete the move. Maybe he bounced around the eighth pole.
You're talking about Journalism.
Journalism.
Yeah.
Right.
You said Sovereignty, but you're talking about.
I meant Journalism.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sovereignty ran fantastic, and to John and John, the great hats off to these guys. They're great handicaps. You know, we're like baseball players.
Yes,
Ralph. We, you know, if we're hitting .333, we might be Hall of Famers.
Well, and not only that, but you know, this is not the type of sports betting where you got to lay money and juice to make an equal amount of money. Here, you can have a lot of wrong picks, and one pick like the $36 horse yesterday, and you get out. Listen, we got 40 seconds to get two bets in, so let's go to Belmont at Aqueduct.
All right, let's start at Belmont. We'll go to the eighth race, number five, No Mo Candy. We'll take the five over the 1279, reverse it, but the five, No Mo Candy in race eight.
All right, number five, No Mo Candy, the five horse. The link-ups are 1, 2, 7, and 9. That is the Bogey Stakes today at Belmont. Eighth race on the card, 5/1, 2/7, 9, and reverse. And we'll wrap it up at San Anita.
Yeah. And just a note on Great Minds, Otello is a pop-out key on my sheet also.
All right. There you go.
Let's go to the sixth.
Yes, sir.
Again, Great Minds. I love Yogi Boyd. He came back running like easy. He's winning well. I like the 3 over the 1, 5, 8, and 10.
Okay. So we've got the Good Housekeeping Handicapper seal of approval between John Lindo and Jerry J, both landing on number 3, Yogi Boy, in the sixth race. Yogi Boy, the link-ups for Jerry is 1, 5, 8, and 10, and reverse. Don't forget Jerry J's power pages for Santa Anita and Belmont at Aqueduct today with carryovers in both pick sixes available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. Well, what a week it's been. And next week we start and find out what's going on with the Preakness, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. But in the meantime, everybody out there, you just have a beautiful Sunday.
It's Ralph Salando at Race Day Las Vegas. Mornings on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas at KSHP.com.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center.
Breaking news out of the NBA as Basketball Hall of Famer Greg Popovich stepping down from being the San Antonio Spurs head coach and transitioning into a full-time role as a team's president of basketball operations. Mitch Johnson, who originally took over for Popovich when he suffered a mild stroke in November, will now take over head coaching duties on a permanent basis. On the NBA playoff scoreboard, the Knicks clutched that series over the Pistons on the road, winning 116-113 in Detroit. They now gear up to play last year's NBA champs, the Boston Celtics. Clippers at home tie their series against the Nuggets in Game 6, winning 111-105.